You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We can go into a number of different subjects, but we like
or
to.
We could just not or, and go crazy.
We could. We have gone crazy before.
We've done that many times in the past.
Very crazy.
Yeah.
Utter nonsense, if you will.
I like how we're like we could go very crazy, and we say it in the most laid back, relaxed voice as possible.
It happens. Like,
on occasion, we have been known to lose our minds.
Yes. But you know what? Before we get to that point in the show,
okay.
Before we kick things off and go off the rails, we like to do a little intro portion, you know, what we've been up to in the week or so since our last broadcast. So, Mike, what have you been up to? Anything interesting?
Well, you were there too, but randomly last week we both ended up at a Phillies Diamond Club March Madness party thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call it.
It was just fun.
You're like, hey, do you want to go to a free lunch at Citizens Bank Park? And I'm like, okay, I guess.
Sure, it was free.
Yeah, it was,
who
it was
says
free?
No to a free lunch?
I know, right? You told me it was going to be fancy, though. It's just wings and cheese. I mean,
well,
to
I mean,
be fair,
they were celebrating March Madness.
Right. To be fair, the wings and the cheesesteaks and the crab fries were good.
Yes.
They were really good.
I love Citizens Bank Park, man. I think it's one of the best stadiums around.
It really is a nice stadium.
I think everywhere you go, it's interesting to be at.
Yeah.
And we were there at a time where the park wasn't like crowded at all. So
yeah.
if you checked our Twitter feeds, you might have seen some posts that we were there and the stadium was eerily empty.
We were in the Diamond Club area, which for those that don't know is the seats right behind home plate.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so cool just to like be so close to the net and so close to the field and look out at it from that perspective.
Yeah, I had never been down at that part of the
stadium. No, neither have I. I mean, those seats are really expensive, you know.
And yeah.
The whole event they were pushing it like, "Hey, you can also buy diamond level seats." And I'm like, "No, I think I'll have another Coke."
You know? Yeah.
No, thank you.
I also have student loans to pay.
Yeah.
I don't think I can afford.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah.
You pay the student loans and I will gladly buy diamond level seats because I would rather assume that cost than the other.
Yeah, I don't have room to wiggle for Diamond Club seats.
No,
but,
no room in the budget.
But there are a lot of other great seats over at Citizens Bank Park, and I'm excited for the Philly season, man.
It's going to be fun.
I think it's going to be better than last year.
Well,
and,
I mean, come on. It's not that hard.
Okay.
When you put the bar on the ground, Rich.
Okay.
It's not hard to step over it.
Okay. How about this? I will say that they're going to go 80 wins. I think that's reasonable.
All right. Okay.
I think 80 wins is reasonable for this team.
I don't know enough about baseball and what they're doing and not doing to really say how many wins they're going to get.
All right. Well, too long didn't read of the offseason.
Yeah.
The Phillies got rid of all of the bloated talent other than Ryan Howard, which nobody.
They're never getting rid of him.
No, they're never going
to
get rid of him.
He's either going to have to leave the city on his own accord or he'll have to die.
Yeah.
Those are the only ways he'll leave the Phillies.
Well, yeah. No other team is going to pick up his ridiculous contract. So
is he starting anymore though?
Yeah, he's still first base. Yeah,
really.
Uh-huh. Hmm. I mean,
is he still good? I mean, he's okay,
yeah,
right?
He doesn't mess it up. That's what matters.
That's really I mean, you know, just don't suck.
Yeah, right. You know? Don't suck.
When you're on a team as bad as ours is, you just have to not suck as bad as everyone else.
Right. But I'm looking forward to this Philly season. I think they're going to go 80 wins. I think 500 is reasonable for this young team, because now this team is all young talent.
They've needed that for a while.
Yeah, they did the jettison. They got rid of Utley. They got rid of Cole Hamels and all these, you know, kind of stars that were not really living up to the end of their contracts.
Well, remember, these guys won the World Series in 2008.
Yeah.
That was, what, seven?
8 years
eight
ago.
Years
now.
Ago? eight years ago. You know, sports, you know, athletes don't stay young forever. You know, I know baseball doesn't take as much of a toll as, like, say, basketball and football and whatnot, but, you know, even still, the body starts to wear down.
It does. So I'm looking forward to this Philly season. Whole bunch of fresh new talent. I'm interested. So far, I've caught a couple of their spring training games.
Oh yeah,
this team looks hungry. They want to prove themselves.
And you know, those young, hungry teams are always the ones that sometimes surprise everyone.
Yeah,
you know, maybe not this year, but maybe in a few years they'll be able to make a push.
Right.
You know,
so
if
I'm
plan it correctly.
I'm looking forward. I can't wait for the Philly season. I love going to the Citizens Bank Park.
Maybe there will be more events in your future.
Yes, hopefully. Probably not at the Diamond Club level, though. That's a little too.
Oh, shucks.
But
it was fun. We got to see the World Series trophies, which I had never seen before in person.
Yeah, you got to see an actual Philadelphia championship.
They've gotten smaller.
Sorry, Mike, over there with your Eagles. You know,
I know. No Lombardi trophy yet. Not yet, Rich, but just you wait. Okay. Just you wait. 50 years later, just you wait.
Here we are, Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The year 2050. I don't even
2060.
Know. 2060. The Eagles are a wild card team.
And they're going to play in Mexico.
They're going to play in Mexico. No, I hear they're trying to get games played in China now.
Yeah,
as early as 2018.
That's supposed to be the next step. Oh, God.
Why China?
China.
China.
Yeah, we need Trump.
Oh, this is another Trump thing,
isn't
it?
We need to call Trump and ask him what the hell is going
on. Well,
after
he builds the wall, we can't play in Mexico, so we have to go to China. It only makes sense. It's the next logical step,
right?
Yeah,
we have to figure out what is going on with the expanding of the games.
China. You go over to China. You take China.
China.
I love
it. So there you go. China.
I love all the way he says it.
Yeah.
But anyway, before we get too off track, talking about Donald Trump and sports.
Yeah.
Rich, what have you been up to recently?
Yeah,
it's like it's weird. We started talking about sports, and we're like, well, wait, let's go backwards. But what have you been up to recently?
Just relaxing, to be honest with you. Easter is coming up next week, which is really early.
It is really early. I guess that's why not a lot of stuff is going on, because everybody is like, well, everybody that like was raised in religious families is getting ready for the Easter season.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think for the most part, families get together for Easter.
I think so.
You know.
Like it because there's pasta.
Yes.
So, being Italian.
Italian, there's weird traditions. We got the prosciutto pie and the rice pie.
I don't know why
to celebrate Jesus' resurrection.
Let's make a pie out of rice.
And prosciutto.
Sure.
Okay. But sure, I'm in.
Look, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, right,
I'm not complaining. No, but you're right. I love it. It's so weird. The Italians, they're like, their two biggest things are Christmas Eve and Easter.
Yeah.
And they go gung-ho.
Chris Easters. Yeah.
Okay. It's a weird combination. It's like, one, they go gung-ho with the fish, which is like, why would you associate Christmas with fish, whatever. But then Easter, they're like, screw it, rice. Like, okay.
Prosciutto.
Yeah. Prosciutto. Gabagool.
Yeah, gabagool.
But we don't have any gabagool.
Yeah, now we're talking. Gabagool. Hey.
I don't understand how Capicola becomes gabagool, but, you know, whatever.
The Sopranos.
Either way.
That logic, the Sopranos.
Either way, I'll eat it. I'm not complaining. I'll eat it.
Right, exactly. We're not complaining. We will love to feast on it.
Exactly.
Just weird, though. Why? But whatever.
I couldn't tell you.
So, things that we're looking forward to in this upcoming week. Ending March, April's going to be arriving. And of course, March Madness. I've been following March Madness.
Yeah. You know, as we get closer.
We didn't actually go into March Madness. I kind of thought we did, since we were talking about our excursion to the Diamond Club on Thursday.
It was for the start
of March
Madness.
But yeah, we didn't actually talk about March Madness. Yeah. The tournament started. I love following all the games.
So.
Oh, man. I love it.
So since you're so ready to jump into some sports talk, why don't we kick things off with our first segment, the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep, sports coming at you in your face.
So you already teased it, though, March Madness has started.
Yes.
Pretty big here because we had a couple teams in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Did any of those teams make it past the opening weekend?
All right. Well, the first casualty was Temple.
Poor Temple.
They lost a close game to Iowa. So, unfortunately, Temple got bounced out. But, hey, it's great that they were even in the tournament.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to see the local
teams.
Yeah,
it's an honor to be in this tournament. So, you know, it means the selection committee thought you were in the top 68 teams in the country.
Yeah, and I mean, think about that. You know, think about all the colleges there are in the U.S.
Every college has a basketball program of
some
sort.
Yeah, because it's so easy to have a basketball program. You know, it doesn't require the resources that, say, football does.
Yeah.
So the top 68 teams, that's pretty good.
Yep. But unfortunately, Temple did not make it out of the first round. But, you know, it happens.
How did St. Joe's do?
St. Joe's was next. They made it past the first round.
Oh, wow.
Yep, on a... A little bit of a controversial last-second call, but it went in St. Joe's favor, so they advanced in the tournament, moved into the second round, but unfortunately in the second round, they were unable to get past, they got matched up against a one-seed Oregon, which,
that's gonna be tough.
That's just bad luck, you know, you can't really do anything about that. But they hung in there, though. They were only down by 5 points in the... In the final score, I think, for that Oregon game. So
That's pretty good, you know, for being, you know, where they were seated. I think they were seated kind of low to hang in there like that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so definitely St. Joe's doing good job in the tournament there. But the bigger story was Villanova. Was Villanova going to choke? You know,
I said they were.
Yeah, you said they were. I was worried that they were, you know, coming off of two straight consecutive times where they were a high seed and expected to go deep in the tournament, and both of those times they didn't even make it out of the opening weekend.
Oof.
You know, there was a lot of skepticism going into this year's, especially when
there
they
definitely
didn't
was.
Win. Especially when they didn't win the Big East tournament. But luckily, they proved us all wrong, and they won the first two games. They made it through opening weekend, and they are alive in the Sweet 16. So definitely great to see, you know, hometown Villanova, one of the 16 teams left in the March Madness tournament. So
yeah, and, you know, they're number two seed, so we anticipate them to at least make the Sweet 16.
Yes.
You know, they should be there. I didn't think they would be there, but they made it. How do you feel about their chances in the Sweet 16? They're going up against a 3 seed Miami.
Yeah, that's going to be a very difficult matchup for them
to go up against. Very, very close in terms of seeding. Do you think they can pull it off?
They can.
Will they?
But will they? I don't know. The point is, let's go back a little bit. This Villanova team was the first Villanova team to be ranked number one overall in the nation.
Yeah, but
They have the potential to do anything in this tournament.
But then they tumbled.
They did. But right now, they've stayed alive. Now
staying alive. Staying.
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
They got to stay alive. Now, this is going to be the first squad in the tournament that they've really faced some resistance towards. I mean, they kind of smashed Iowa in the last game that they had.
Yeah,
so
they did.
You know, this is going to be their first test of a team that matches up against them. So it'll be interesting to see. I hope they make it to the Elite Eight and maybe a Final Four run. Oh, it would be great to see Villanova make it deep.
That would be pretty cool. Yep. I mean, I don't follow college basketball, so I'm like, hey, you know, whatever. But no, I'm happy for all the Villanova fans. It's nice to know that a local team is doing well because we haven't had a lot of that.
Yeah, right. We haven't
this past year.
We have not had a lot of positive stories here in the Philadelphia sports world.
So even if you're not a basketball fan like I am, you know, take pride in knowing that one of your local teams is not absolute garbage like the Eagles and the Sixers and everybody else.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the recap of the local teams in the March Madness tournament. There's something else that I want to mention before we leave the March Madness topic.
Yeah, go for it.
And that is this ridiculous story of you could probably make the argument, the biggest comeback ever in college basketball history.
Okay. What happened?
With 44 seconds left, Northern Iowa was ahead of Texas A&M by 12 points.
With 44 seconds?
44 seconds left.
And I'm assuming...
Yep, the reason why I bring this up. Oh, yeah.
They gave up what? Like 13, 14 points?
They gave up 12 points in 44 seconds.
man.
I mean, that's, this was one of those, this was one of those cases.
The shot clock is like 20 seconds. Just hug the ball and stand still. That's all you got to do.
This was one of those cases where, like, the commentators were already talking about Northern Iowa moving ahead in the tournament and their matchup against the team in the next round.
Oh,
and
man.
Yet, in 44 seconds, it all came crashing down on this poor Northern Iowa team.
I literally don't understand. Isn't the shot clock like 20 to 24 seconds?
I think college basketball, it's 30.
How the hell?
NBA is 24 seconds.
Can't you just, like, hug the ball and stand still?
Yeah, you can do that. You can.
Why didn't they?
Because they didn't.
But why? You're up by 12 points.
So
just sit on it.
Well, here's what happened. So,
give me like a play-by-play. How did this happen?
So Texas A&M had the ball back, down 12 points. They score. They force another turnover. They score. And then they were playing
two pointers or three pointers.
Two pointers, actually. And here's
so at this point they're still down eight.
Yeah, and now are you ready for the really weird part about this whole nonsense?
Okay,
no fouls happened. Usually
that's really weird.
Yeah, usually when you get to this point in
the
game,
team starts fouling to stop the clock.
Right, you foul to stop the clock, but Texas A&M just didn't do it. They instead relied on their heavy defense, their inbound defense. You know all right, so I'm trying to explain this as best as I can.
I know what it means, but when they pass it in bounds.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, Mike. You're sports football, so I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, when they throw it inbounds.
When they inbound the ball, the Texas A&M was just playing absolute amazing
defense.
There was
just nowhere to throw to.
Yeah, and they forced turnovers, they forced steals, they forced bad shots. They got a defensive rebound. And it just all added up to just the worst 44 seconds.
That's incredible.
Ever.
One of my biggest complaints about basketball is the fact that when a team is down, like, late in the game, they do the fouling thing, and it never works. Because the team always shoots. This is the exact
opposite. Yeah.
They're like, screw it, let's just play really good defense.
Yeah.
And they did, and they won. That's incredible.
According to 538, you know that website, they do a lot of stats and stuff.
I actually don't, but go ahead, proceed.
538, they're really heavy stat guys.
Okay, I'll have to keep that in mind.
At the point where they were up by 12 points, Texas A&M only had a 1 in 3,000 shot of coming back in that game.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That is crazy. I wonder the people that were betting on that.
You know?
I wonder... Well, actually, the bets wouldn't go in their favor because A&M was favored. I mean, they were a 3 seed, weren't they? At least that's what my bracket thing says.
Yeah. Actually, this would have been an upset for Northern Iowa. I think that was also part of it. Northern Iowa was such a young team, they weren't sure how to close out this game. I mean, once you kind of have momentum going in the other direction, it's a little
you don't know how to close out. Look, you just said the shot clock is 30 seconds.
You close!
Always be closing.
Yeah, always be closing.
A, always, B, B, C, closing.
Always be closing.
Nobody has any idea what we're talking about.
No, Glengarry Glen Ross.
I barely have an idea what we're talking about. I only saw that movie once.
That's one of the best movies.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that.
Let me buy a pack of gum and show you how to chew it, too.
Ooh. Big man you are. Oh, man.
You fairy.
Yeah. What
you're
a company
weird
insult.
Man.
Yeah,
the movie's just, it's got really strange insults, but they all work. Yeah.
Yeah. You company man. Northern Iowa did not close this out. Always be closing.
Man, it pains me to think about it because all they had to do was inbound the ball and then just hold it for 30 seconds.
Yep.
Like, that's all you had to do.
Or they couldn't even do that. Run around, you try and do something where you waste time and
just,
they couldn't
do
it.
Yeah, just... anything.
And I think the weirder part is no fouls were made.
Yeah.
No, they did the...
That really shows that Texas A&M was playing really strong defense then.
Yeah. I mean, Texas
A&M... To not have to foul to make that comeback. That's impressive. Because usually that's all you see. Foul, foul, foul. They're making the foul shots. It's like, dude, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah. Texas A&M, man, you got to give them credit for not giving up. 44 seconds left. They were down 12. They come back. They tie it. They force overtime, and they win to move on in the March Madness tournament. This is why it's March Madness. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. This is madness.
Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. I guess you are right.
Madness.
This is madness. Madness. This is Sparta!
You're right.
This is March Madness! Yes. That ends in April!
You don't like that part, do you?
I really do not like that part. It's like, you could just start it a week earlier.
You could, but unfortunately, the sponsors just wouldn't like that, I guess, or I don't know.
No, it's stupid. The Final Four is April 2nd, and the championship isn't until April 4th. It's April Madness.
This is madness! Madness. This is Sparta!
This is April. It doesn't work. No, it's fine. They could just start a week earlier. I don't.
What was his name? Legolas or something?
That's
300?
Lord of the Rings.
No. Oh shoot. Who's the
for
guy
somebody that doesn't like Lord of the
who
Rings?
Who's the guy in 300?
Leonidas.
Leonidas.
Leotis or something.
There you go. Something with an L.
300 movie. I'm gonna look it up.
Is it the? It's not Leon, is it? I hope it's not that.
Or is it Leroy?
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
It's not Leon.
Or is it Leroy? Like Leroy Jenkins. King Leonidas.
King Leonidas, that's what I meant to say.
I love how, of all the names you can come up with, a Lord of the Rings name. You hate Lord of the Rings.
I hate Lord of the Rings,
and
yeah.
It's right there, Rich. It's in your head.
Well, anyway.
You've been thinking about it all day. You think, Legolas, yeah. Gimli.
Sure.
Aragorn.
But King,
those crazy
King
hobbits.
Leonidas obviously did not know what, could not handle the craziness that is March Madness, I guess.
No.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
Alright, so we had that happen in March Madness. One other thing I'll briefly mention, a huge upset right in the first round. Spartans, Michigan State. They went out right in the first round.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
Well,
and that is important because what were they seeded?
They were a 2 seed.
Ouch.
And people thought they were going to be a 1 seed going into this tournament. So people were saying, oh, they're underhyped. They're not respected by the selection committee. And they go right out of the first round. I loved it. I couldn't believe that.
To be fair, that's what I thought Villanova was going to do.
Right, yeah. It seemed like Villanova was going to suffer this.
It's the same narrative, though. You know, like a week ago, I could see Villanova doing that.
Yeah.
But they avoided it just barely. Not just barely, but.
Instead, Michigan State went down to Middle Tennessee State.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Right. Yeah. Does that mean to attend that college, you have to be specifically in the middle of Tennessee?
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Is there an outer Tennessee?
Yeah, right. Is there an outer Tennessee state?
Middle. What was it? Middle Tennessee.
Specifically, Middle Tennessee State. They were the 15 seed that upset Michigan State.
I want to see like the college if it's like on the border or literally in the middle.
Well, as you do,
I'm going to look it up.
As you do a Google search, it was a stunning upset. Not only because it was a 15 seed knocking off a 2 seed, but just all the hype that was going behind Michigan State. Something like 25%. Of ESPN users picked them to go all the way to the national championship.
Wow.
Yeah. And they go out in the first round. So brackets destroyed all because of that game. Thanks, Middle Tennessee State.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
And did you find out?
To be fair, it is in the middle of Tennessee. It's not at the edge. They live up to their name.
Okay.
I'm proud of you, Middle Tennessee State University. It's a 4.1 rating on Google Maps based on 75 reviews. Let's see what some of the reviews say. The university has an excellent freshman orientation program, lots of exchange students, and unique points if view to learn. The surroundings make a great learning environment.
Someone not good at grammar here.
They're kind of lax on their English courses, wouldn't you say? Middle Tennessee. We should do that. We should make a segment where we review colleges.
The college review.
The college review segment. Middle Tennessee. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
All right. Well, there you go.
That's what I love about March Madness is finding out about these weird colleges. You're like, really? That's a place? You know?
Yep, so there you go. The first edition of Is This Really a College?
Is this really a college?
I I think we should establish this.
That would be amazing. Is this really a college?
Well, we had what was it? Mind University.
What was it? School of Minds.
School of Minds. Yeah. So there we go. That could be the next chapter. This really a school? Is this School of Mines?
The Colorado School of Mines. Yeah, yeah, I just looked it up. Let's see what Google Reviews has to say about this.
Because we said School of Landmines instead of just Mines. We'll play that as
it has a
4.6.
It has a 4.6 average on Google Maps based on 41 reviews. Doesn't have a particularly strong or respected graduate research program. Ooh, not good. But it has landmines.
Yeah, how's their landmines? That's what matters.
Early reports say that the landmines are pretty good. So if you like landmines, go to Colorado School of Mines. And what do you know? This one is actually in the northern third of the state. So just figure I'd give you a little bit of geography as we walk through the minefield.
Yeah, right. The actual little minefield. Okay.
Oh, they have an extremely high placement rate with employers. All right.
Anyway. So there you go.
Why is the School of Mines not in March Madness?
I guess they didn't field a basketball team.
What's their mascot? Is it a landmine?
Miney.
It's called Miney?
Miney the landmine.
We're going to blow you up. Beep, beep, beep. You had far too much fun with that, Rich. Miney the landmine.
Yeah, man.
The halftime shows are explosive.
That's right. You don't want to know, you know, the aftermath of it.
The opposing team's like, we hate playing here.
There's actual holes in the basketball court.
You know, talk about a home court advantage. Oh, man.
All right. Well, there you go. Our soon-to-be regular segment here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Is this really a college?
I love it. But until we fully develop that segment, Rich, we have another short sports story to get to. If you're finished with
March Madness. I think we're done.
Okay.
I'm already March Madness crazy. Woo!
After Middle Tennessee State and Landmine University or whatever it's called. Woo! It's time to get to some real sports talk, Rich. We're talking about football news.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitching fucking football.
Yeah, just a quick little story here to report in the football world. This is kind of just, what do you think about this? Peyton Manning, as we all know, retired.
Yep.
And you know,
ending
definitely
an illustrious career.
Yeah, probably one of the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see anybody reach those stats.
And an interesting little tidbit surfaced over the weekend. So Peyton Manning retired with the Super Bowl winning Broncos,
right?
But before he was a Bronco, he was a part of the Indianapolis Colts, won a Super Bowl with them.
For many years.
Yeah.
I think for, what, like 13, 12,
13
years?
The majority of his
career. Yeah. That's where he got his start. They drafted him, number one overall, went to two Super Bowls with them, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a result of this, Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, wanted to offer Peyton Manning a one-day deal to let him retire as a Colt. Now, this is something that's part of tradition.
It's tradition.
Yep, it's tradition.
It is customary in the NFL. Like Dawkins did it with the Eagles, where he came back, signed a one-day contract to retire as an Eagle because you know he spent 13 years there. Same with McNabb, Westbrook. You know, it is tradition. I think did Brett Favre do that with Green Bay?
Or I think he did after all the
hemming and hawing and
after all the troubles were sorted out. Yeah,
right. So this is, you know, pretty standard.
Yeah.
Sign a one day contract to retire with your team.
Right. But unfortunately, this report came out over the weekend that Peyton Manning has chosen to refuse the one day deal the Colts were going to offer him.
Wow.
So it goes in the record books that Peyton Manning will retire as a Bronco, a Super Bowl winning Bronco.
Oh, you know what?
So fair or foul? Is this a little bit of a diss?
I think it is. I think it's a little bit of a middle finger to the Indianapolis Colts.
I mean, for those that don't know, the Colts essentially turned their back on Peyton Manning after he had that neck surgery.
To be fair, a lot of people were saying he wouldn't be able to play again.
Right.
But they gave him a start. They gave him a lot of money and a place to call home for, I think, 13 years.
Right.
Is
this fair or foul, is I guess what I'm asking. I'm
big on loyalty, so I think foul. I think you gotta remember where you come from. You know? It's like, yes, you had your most recent success with the Broncos, but you wouldn't have had that success had you not had the career that you did with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brought you into the league. They helped build your career. They gave you great tools like Marvin Harrison, Edgerrin James, Dwight Freeney. They put you in excellent positions, that whole team and coaching staff, Tony Dungy. And just to turn your back on an organization that helped you define your legendary career, I think it is a little bit of a slap in the face, you know?
Really?
I do. I do think that. I mean, put it this way. How would you feel if Dawkins had done that? Or if McNabb had done that? It would leave a very...
Yeah, well, Philly's a different animal. Yeah, we'd be like, they never liked us anyway.
I'm going based on my feelings. It would leave a very sour taste in my mouth. If Brian Dawkins, who's my favorite football player, so maybe there's a little bit of bias there, but if Brian Dawkins had retired as a Bronco instead of an Eagle, which he was on the Broncos team,
yep,
I would have been very upset. I would have felt a little bit slighted, you know, because of all the support and all the love and all the attention and everything that the fans in the city give to that player. I think, you know, forget about what the organization did, even though the organization did a lot for you, even if they did sort of diss you at the end. Think about the fans. Think about the community that you were, quote unquote, supposedly a part of. I think this is sort of a slap in the face to the organization, the fans, and the city.
I would say, I don't think, well, I mean, it probably, well, first off, it is a slap to the Colts. But I don't think it's foul.
You don't think it's foul?
I think Peyton Manning is he's allowed to do this, and I don't think it's
well, I mean, he's allowed to do
it. I mean, I don't think
it.
It's bad mojo.
You don't think it's bad mojo?
No, because you know what? First off, the Colts dumped him when he had the neck surgery. The Colts didn't have any faith that his career was going to rebound. And then he had that successful season with Denver where he just lit up one of the best offenses ever. Remember that? He threw something ridiculous like
50 touchdown passes or something.
And also the second point that I'm going to mention is his last game, he goes out as the Super Bowl champion. So it's you want to go off on that note kind of. That you want that to be your last like image going out. So why would you sign a one-day contract with the Colts? Just so you can quote retire as a Colt, you know, it's kind of, I mean, I don't think it's really worth it. I get what Peyton Manning wants to do here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, signing a one day contract with the Colts doesn't invalidate the Super Bowl.
No, it doesn't.
I think,
but it's nice to say you've ended your career at, you know, your last game was your super. The last time you were an NFL player was Super Bowl and you won and that is the storybook ending.
I mean, it is, but...
And it's also a great way to say screw you to the Colts.
I also think, I mean, those are fair points, but I also think there's something to be said about, you know, coming full circle, you know, and ending where you started. Mm-hmm. There's also something storybook about that as well, in my opinion. I don't know, I'm a very loyal person, and I would feel like...
Let's put it this way, though. If something like this happened to the Eagles, you would be disowned.
Oh,
how
instantly,
dare you!
Instantly, be disowned. And again, I guess that's the mentality I'm thinking of it from. Is like I would never be able to stomach that if an Eagles player did that.
Yeah, like if McNabb like just went off as a Redskin, like what?
I'd be like, screw you, McNabb. You know. But I mean, so here's the thing: it is sort of a tough call for Peyton Manning to make, in all fairness, because the Colts gave him so much support and, you know, helped make him into the player he was, but also he did have his latest success with the Broncos. So I feel like even though I feel like he should have gone back to the Colts, I also think that also would have been a slap in the face of the Broncos. So I feel like he's
between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly. He's either going to offend the Colts or offend the Broncos, because if you're a Broncos fan, you're like, dude, you just took us to two Super Bowls and you won one of them. You're going to retire as a Colt? But then the Colts are like, dude, we gave you 13 years. How are you going to do me like that? You know? So I feel like it's a, sort of a lose-lose situation for him.
Well, nevertheless, don't get too sad about it, because both organizations still did offer retirement ceremonies for him.
Yeah.
Both organizations are going to do some sort of statue or plaque in, for him.
Yeah.
I think the Colts are doing a statue and the Broncos are doing a plaque or something like that. So I mean, don't be too sad for him. It's not getting any recognition.
No,
all right?
No. And just because he didn't retire for the Colts, it doesn't mean that he didn't. Like, it doesn't, like, wipe that out of the history books, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like, no, only those 4 years with the Broncos, that's it. You know? It's just, everything else is just wiped out. But, yeah, so an interesting dynamic with Peyton Manning, an interesting story here, rejecting the one-day contract from the Colts to retire as a Denver Bronco.
Yep, and I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you, but
yeah.
It did make the headlines over in the sports world.
I think he was
spurning
stuck.
the former team.
Yeah,
I think he was, but
he was.
Go for it.
He was. Yeah,
they turned their back on him. So screw it. Go ahead. Have fun. Do what you want. Do you, Peyton Manning?
I don't like Peyton Manning that much though. So I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to end the sports sampler. Yeah. Oh, like whatever.
I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
We'll end the sports sampler on that weird note, and then we'll go into a nice little break, and then we have the entertainment entree, and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still a lot more show to get to. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A Wyoming high school student who was able to build a nuclear reactor was...
Wait, what? Is that literally the first line of the story?
Yep. A Wyoming high school senior who built a nuclear reactor was disqualified from the International Science and Engineering Fair this month on a technicality. It seems that the senior had competed in too many science fairs.
What? How's that fair? It's like, oh, he's so smart. He's competed in so many. He literally built a nuclear reactor, something that rocket scientists have a hard time with, and he gets disqualified?
Yeah, sadly. He still is planning to graduate from high school this month and wants to go to the South Dakota School of Mines. I don't know if it's actually Mines.
Yeah, wait, the School of Mines.
Yeah, okay. M-I-N-E-S. I don't know if that's like a place or if it actually means landmines or something.
Landmines?
Welcome to campus. Good luck.
If you can make it to class, you've already passed.
Jeez.
What is that? That's the incoming freshman class.
There you go, the South Dakota School of Mines.
That's not even what the story was about.
No, but sometimes little things.
Yeah, anyway.
Like a landmine!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling and whatnot. We are done. Yeah, we are done with the sports sampler. We did a little intro with the March Madness and everything with the Diamond Club and all that fun stuff.
That's right.
So the first two parts of the show out of the way. But coming up next, we have some very big topics to get to. In the meat portion of the show, if you will.
That's right. It is the main course in this meal for your mind. It's the always exciting and entertaining entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes. What a way.
Orson Welles again.
Yep. Starting the Entertainment Entree off with Orson Welles. And the reason why I'm doing this back-to-back weeks, Orson Welles.
Because Orson Welles is amazing.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
But other than that.
I got a fan request.
Oh.
Because I had mentioned last week that Orson Welles had done all of these ridiculous commercials.
Right.
And apparently people don't know that he did ridiculous commercials, and they wanted me to play them on the Entertainment Entree.
Oh, my gosh. So okay. I love Orson Welles. I love his crazy commercials.
So, yeah, last week I referenced the fact that Orson Welles did these crazy commercials towards the end of his career, and people wanted to learn more about what he shilled before he, you know, kicked the bucket.
And this is all because you played that printer one last week, right?
Yes. So, you know what? Let's refresh everybody's mind. This was Orson Welles trying to sell a Nashua printer, and we played it for you last week. Here on the podcast.
It was Shakespeare who posed the question, what's in a name? And in modern day commerce, the answer would be everything. When you buy a Nashua copier, you're also buying the fiercely proud reputation of the company whose copiers outsold all other plain paper copiers worldwide. Be assured that whichever Nashua model you select, the dependability goes in, then the name goes on. Nashua, your number one choice.
Yeah, so there you go. No transition right
there. By
the
way, Nash was no longer around. And, so
yeah.
That name only went on a little while, it appears.
Yeah. I just love the fact that there's just no transition. He goes from like saying something really nice about Shakespeare to Nashua printers. Please buy a goddamn printer.
Shakespeare said, buy a printer.
Yeah, goddamn
it. What play was that in again? Is that Romeo and Juliet?
Teaming of the Office.
Teaming of the Office. Oh, Romeo, wherefore out there, printer? It says paper, load tray error.
Dost thou now say, dost load thy payment.
What did you just say, dost thou now?
Yes.
I love Shakespeare because it doesn't make any sense. And anybody says that it does, it doesn't. I'm sorry.
So that was the printer ad that I played last week. I played this to start off this little segment.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
That is a outtake of Orson Welles trying to do a commercial for Parmesan.
And you know what? It doesn't matter how many times. You play that a million times. It doesn't matter how many times. That first, always gets me.
Ah, the French champagne. It's always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
I love the second one. Like, he's just flat out giving up.
So he's not spinning out the champagne, though, as he's doing the different takes, right? And he's getting a little tipsy. Oh, my God. So it's utter shock. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, the first one is, whoa.
Oh, my God.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
So here is the actual finished product of that ad.
Oh, so they actually finished it?
Yeah, thank God for editing.
The taste of French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There's a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. Paul Masson's superb taste shouldn't be too surprising. This champagne doesn't come from France, but it was created by a man who did, Paul Masson. Paul Masson will sell no wine before it's time.
All right, I'm so laughing, they saved it.
I'm laughing so hard because...
They saved it.
In my mind, I'm comparing that to... Whoa!
The French!
He was so off!
Yeah, thank God for editing.
Oh, the magic of editing. He recorded all that in post-production, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can tell because on the video screen, it's nothing but, like, shots of the bubbly and, like, someone pouring it. Like, there's no
not
shot.
Not one shot of Orson
Welles.
Like,
there's no shot of Orson Welles until the end.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
All right. So.
So he did more ads, though.
Right. Okay. And I have them for you.
Okay. All right.
And I mentioned this one last week, but I didn't play it. This is the Japanese whiskey commercial that Orson Welles shilled out for Nika Whiskey. Here you go. Orson Welles loves Japanese whiskey.
Hello. I'm Orson Welles. I direct films and act in them. What we're always trying for, of course, is perfection. In a film, that's only a hope. But with G&G, you can rely on it. Perfection. G&G. Nika Whiskey.
All right, and there you go.
It was really odd because he was like breathing. He was like, I'm Orson Welles.
Yeah, like he's like sad. He can't believe he's gotten to this point.
I'm a director.
I was a director.
Yeah, it was just a very strange, very... All these commercials are very strange. Because you think, this is the guy that made Citizen Kane. Rosebud. You know?
Yeah.
And now he's like, I'm a director. Buy this whiskey. You know?
Here's whiskey. It's good.
In film.
That's it.
We strive. He's like the character from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah,
you know?
Right? Yeah, he can only say like three words at a time.
Oh, that was amazing. So that was a Japanese whiskey.
Yeah.
Wow. How far he fell. Yeah. So do you have another one for us?
Yep. Moving on. He also did a advertisement for Vivitar Camera.
Another brand I don't think is around anymore.
No. I think it's a good thing to say if Orson Welles was advertising for your product, it didn't last.
Are any of these brands still around?
Just Paul Masson.
That's it. Everything
Other
else
that,
is
everything
just...
Everything else is just going to the wolves here. But here you go. This is Orson Welles for Vivitar Camera.
I've discovered a camera. The Vivitar. It's a pocket camera with a great idea. The electronic flash is built in, see? Now my flash pictures don't have to be blurry or fuzzy because somebody moved. There's a sharp Vivitar picture for you. And here's the Vivitar. Small, inexpensive, so easy. Nothing to attach. The flash is built in. If you want sharp pictures, this has got to be your camera. The Vivitar.
Every now and then he has like these random breaths.
He gets like lower and lower. He's like, now that's a sharp Vivitar picture.
Yeah. There's a good image. Yeah. It's almost a little bit like Shatner almost. It's like, there's like a little bit of an awkward pause at like random points in his sentence.
Awkward pauses and breaths and where he gets like suddenly deeper.
Get the electronic flash. By the way, I love it. Yeah. That's how you know this is an old commercial. An electronic flash.
Whoa. It's built right in, Rich. Yeah. It's built into the camera.
Electronic flash. It's the cousin of the flash.
It's the what?
He's
it's
the electronic flash.
The electronic flash.
You know, all he does is take pictures.
It's a really awful superpower.
Yeah.
What can you do, electronic flash? Well, I can take pictures with my Vivitar camera. It's like one of those heroes created just to shill a product.
Yeah,
know?
Right. And it's played by Orson Welles.
Played by Orson Welles. I'm here to save the day with my...
I'm here to document the day.
Vivitar camera.
You
with
guys...
the electronic flash.
You guys all save the world. I'll just photograph and document the process here. With my Nika whiskey.
Oh, the camera. That's an electronic flash.
All right, and then I got one more commercial for you. Orson Welles not only did commercials for printers, for cameras, for Japanese whiskey.
Lots of booze.
But also for a board game.
Oh, no.
Yes, Orson Welles loves the board game Dark Tower.
Last night, I journeyed backwards in time to the medieval world of Dark Tower. In this amazing game, I had to find three keys, lay siege to the tower, and defeat the enemy within. Each move was a challenge. The computer kept track, giving me secret information, pictures, sounds, surprises. Then, ahead of my opponent, I made my move. The battle was joined.
And I was victorious. Dark Tower.
And there you go. Orson Welles also likes Dark Tower.
Sure, why not?
even a board game, why not? With a computer!
Computer, yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a computer. It's just something that lights up in the center of the board. It's a computer!
When did he make this ad?
That one's...
Because it sounded old.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely ancient 70s.
So back then, computers were like, if something flashed, like an electronic flash, you're like, right. It's witchcraft!
It's lighting up on its own!
How does it do it?
With the electronic flash!
Built right in!
There you go.
I wonder what he would say to modern technology.
The light box is here!
The light box. My handheld pocket phone has an electronic flash built right into it.
So, anyway, I thought...
Where's the rotary on this phone, you know?
So, anyway, I thought you guys would enjoy some more Orson Welles commercials, and I had a request to play the one that I mentioned last week, so I figured you guys would like that. Orson Welles, you can't go wrong, right?
You can't. I feel like all of his clips are just gold.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yep, always celebrated.
Gold like champagne. There you go.
Yep. So, there you go. An interesting way to start off the entertainment entree for this week. But it's time to get to a regular portion that we do every week in the entertainment entree. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
All right, Mike. Without doing an Orson Welles scream, what do you got for your weekly update in movies and TV and video games?
Well, first, in movies, because Orson Welles was a big movie guy, another brand that has always been celebrated for its excellence is Batman.
Yeah, there you go, Batman.
This week, a huge one coming out. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. Everybody's looking forward to this one. This is DC's...
I'm Batman.
Yes, I'm Batman. I wonder if he'll say that in the movie.
I'm Batman.
Well, that's how he introduces himself to Superman. Hi, Superman.
Hi, Superman.
I'm Batman.
There you go. It's you go. That simple.
That's a very simple greeting, yeah.
I'm Batman.
He doesn't mess around with pleasantries. He just gets right to business. I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Well, this time, Batman is being played by Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Across from Henry Cavill as Superman. This one is getting a lot of press. This is, of course, DC's answer to the Avengers on the Marvel side of things. This one is seeing a huge release available in 3D and IMAX. It's going to be everywhere. It's got a huge cast. Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Amy Adams, Jesse Eisenberg, just tons and tons. Directed by Zack Snyder. It has a lot of talent behind this. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, I think.
Yeah.
I know everyone's excited to see that. So if you're into the superhero genre, go check out this one. This is a legendary storyline in DC Comics. That's Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, coming out this week. In the world of TV, we have a new ABC show called The Catch. This is a new Shonda Rhimes produced and written show. For those that don't know Shonda Rhimes, she did Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal, all very popular primetime dramas. This one is following a fraud investigator who is the victim of a fraud committed by her fiance. So it's, you know, how does she not notice something going on right underneath her own nose, you know? For those of you that are familiar with Shonda Rhimes, you know that she has sort of a soap opera-y feel to her writing, but it's very good nonetheless. Great dramatic characters that get themselves into really complex situations, and very smart writing that you know, the characters are very strong, and the way that they deal with the issues and the other characters. It's always a great dramatic adventure in these Shonda Rhimes shows. So go check out The Catch on ABC. That's Thursdays on ABC. And to wrap things up in video games, we have a couple of big announcements. Fallout 4 is releasing its first DLC, Automatron, available for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. But in the world of new video games, we have a very interesting one, Rich, that I think will be right up your alley. Cat Lateral Damage.
What?
Is releasing on PlayStation 4. It is a first-person destructive cat simulator. You play as a cat whose objective is to knock over as many things as possible.
Just like that?
Just like that. That's it. That's the entire game.
Sounds like something I'd like to play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it has any more to it than that, but any chance you get to play as a weird animal, like Goat Simulator, this is the same thing except with cats. So, if you've ever dreamed of being a cat, now's your chance, folks, on PlayStation 4. And finally, the last one, Trackmania Turbo is releasing on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It got an 81 Metacritic. It is a classic arcade racing game with gravity-defying loops, banks, and jumps. It has a couple cool features. Split-screen multiplayer, which not a lot of games have anymore, but also allows you to create your own tracks, and you can share them and play on other people's tracks. It also has a really unique co-op mode, in which there's one car and two drivers, where you each have to synchronize your movements, accelerating, decelerating, drifting, turning at the same time to keep the car on track. So an interesting take on the racing formula. That's Trackmania Turbo, coming out for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that update for this week in entertainment. Let's go into this one story that we wanted to talk about. PlayStation entering the world of virtual reality, a huge breakthrough for Sony fans.
Yeah, this is a really big one. As people may or may not be aware, the new technological frontier right now is virtual reality.
Yeah.
A couple of big players here, Facebook and Oculus, are teaming up for the Rift. You have what's it called? I can't remember the company now. The company that's doing the Vive, I think it's called. Let me see if I can find the name of the company. This is horrible. I can't remember it now. HTC Vive is teaming up with Steam. That's what it is. I couldn't remember if it was Steam or HTC, but HTC is coming out with the Vive. You have Oculus and Facebook coming out with the Rift, and now you have Sony with PlayStation VR. Now, previously, the Oculus Rift and the Vive had announced their prices and release dates, the Rift coming in at $600 and the Vive coming in at $800. Everybody was a little apprehensive about what the PlayStation VR would announce as their starting price, but they shocked everyone by announcing that they were releasing the headset for $400, which is substantially lower than all the other competition. But it doesn't stop there. It gets even better because now that's just the headset, $400. You're saying, well, what about the controllers, the camera, all that stuff? There is also a special launch package, a bundle that you can get for $100 more. You get the headset, the camera, two PlayStation Move controllers, a demo disc, and a full retail game. That is impressive, considering it's still $100 less than just the headset and the controller of the Oculus Rift.
So is this VR its own console?
This is not its own console. You need a PlayStation 4 to play it. But unlike the other virtual reality options, you can just plug it directly into the PlayStation 4. Well, a processing box, then the PlayStation 4. The processing box you get with the headset. But there's nothing really to worry about in terms of settings and configuration. You just plug it in, and you're ready to go. With the other ones, of course, it gets a little more difficult and complicated. because both the Oculus Rift and the Vive require pretty beefy graphics cards and processors on your computer. So not only do you have to spend the $600 or $800, but you have to have a high-end gaming rig to even use it. The PlayStation VR works out of the box on PlayStation 4. You don't need to worry about graphics cards and all that nonsense. You just plug it in and go. Another great thing about the PlayStation VR, it comes with built-in 3D audio. It has head tracking, so it tracks your head, where you're looking, how you're looking. It also has something called cinematic mode, where even if a game isn't built for VR, if you use the headset, you're playing on a virtual 250-inch screen that's like right in front of you. And the other cool feature is it also has screen mirroring / sharing, where the picture is still displayed to the TV, so that while you're wearing the headset, friends and family can watch what you're playing. And there's even some games where they can play something that's on the screen and you play another character or another perspective in the VR headset. So a lot of really cool...
So it's almost trying to take it as a second screen multiplayer.
Like a second screen multiplayer, like its own game system. It can do... it's like a Swiss Army knife. It can do basically anything you can want to do with VR. Play its own games, play regular games, watch movies. You can also watch movies on the virtual 250-inch screen. I'm still not sure what that looks like. I heard that it builds like a virtual, like you're sitting in like a virtual theater and you're like looking at a massive screen. So that combined with the 3D audio, I think would be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And it comes in cheaper than every other option out there.
And it doesn't require like a gaming rig.
It requires the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, PS4.
But for the 40 million people that already own one...
There you go. Another little addition for you.
That's it, yeah. And this is coming out October 2016. Pre-orders are open right now. They've already sold out in the UK. They might even be sold out in the US. I'm not sure. You have to go check. But with all that being said, Rich, how do you feel about this VR... this new wave of VR tech, because we tried a very early Oculus Rift demo.
Oh, yeah, we did that at Too Many Games.
Yeah, I think 2 years ago, but that was a really, really rough early developer's kit.
Uh-huh.
From the reports that I'm reading, the PlayStation VR is the most comfortable, period, but also the most comfortable for people with glasses. It's designed...
Yeah, that's important for
us. It's designed to fit straight over glasses, and they say it's comfortable. Yeah. So what do you think about the VR? Would this be something... Well, first off, what do you think about the price point coming in so much lower
than
everybody else?
That's good on behalf of Sony, because in this economy, you know, the lowest price is often king.
Yeah. And not that it's low, but compared to the $800 for the Vive, or the Vive, I'm not sure, I still don't know how you say it. Stupid name, first off.
No offense.
But yeah, no offense. But the Vive is double the cost of PlayStation VR, and you still might need to upgrade your computer.
Yeah, you better have a really high-end computer to run those VR graphics.
Yeah. So personally, I'm really excited for this.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know, this is definitely getting more attention than 3D got.
Yeah, you know, 3D, I think, just faded out.
When 3D came out, people were like, yay.
Yeah.
But they weren't really excited about it. But everything that I read about VR, I've been reading up a lot of the articles, people are really blown away with...
How
immersive it is. Like, I read a number of articles where the previewer said that when they were playing the game and the demo ended, that they would... that the game told them to like put like the gun, like it was like a shooting game, and told them to put the gun down on the table, and they would drop the Move controller, forgetting that they were like actually holding a Move controller, and they would drop it on the ground, and they're like,
uh-oh, it's too good.
Yeah, it that's how immersive it is. So I'm really excited for this. I don't know if I would jump right in on it. You know,
yeah,
I,
it's still a tad bit expensive.
Still,
you know,
a tad bit
right
expensive. Yeah, and I want them to get a chance to finalize the tech behind it.
Yeah,
you know, because this is like the first real push into VR besides that Nintendo Virtual Boy.
Well, yeah,
I don't think that counts though.
No, and that wasn't even actually true virtual reality.
No, it's just
they
a
didn't
screen.
Have any. They didn't have any like first person games.
Yeah, it was just a screen next to your eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
In red and black.
No. Yeah, this is completely different. This is tracking your head and your hands.
Did you know that one of the games on the Virtual Boy was Mario Golf in red and black?
Oh my God, that sounds
awful. Why would you make Mario Golf on a red and black Virtual Boy?
I mean, because it's Mario? So
what color is the fairway? Lava or black?
Lava or black. I guess it would... Yeah, I know, because then the ball is... I guess all the backgrounds have to be black.
Yeah.
And then the ball is red.
Yeah. It's just... Ugh.
It's just that's just a bad idea.
This is one of the reasons why virtual reality was never touched ever again, because of how bad Virtual Boy was.
Well, let me tell you, now that it's being touched again, they definitely have more colors than just two.
Thank God.
each eye in the PlayStation VR gets a 960 by 1080 display with a 100-degree viewing angle and up to 120 hertz refresh rate. So this is not the red and black, you know, 20 frames per second Virtual Boy. This is, you know, 60 frames per second, high definition, low latency, top of the line type of experience. Here's a question. Do you think that you would be interested in VR down the line? Do you think you could see yourself playing VR?
Well, down the line, yeah. I mean, this seems
Could you imagine first-person Grand Theft Auto with VR?
Like, this sounds like...
Like, you can't say that without smiling, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that seems like the future of video games, but I think they're going to have to work on the price point. They're going to have to, and I, like you said, the first edition of this technology is going to have glitches and bugs and things that aren't right.
And that's every technology. I'm never one of those like cutting edge people. I always wait to see how it's going to play out. You know.
Yeah.
But I think like the second generation of this will probably be. Like
perfected.
Yeah, that's when it'll finally become like mass market appeal. Especially since this is the really, I don't know how Sony is doing this, but they're selling it for a profit. Usually when they put out like a console or a peripheral, they sell it at a loss and they make their money back through software. But they're selling this at a profit, which gives them a lot of wiggle room with the price. That's why they're able to package so many things in with it. For $500.
Huh.
So, I mean, we could see price drops, you know, throughout its cycle, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, this is a really great opportunity for Sony. And I think they could easily take the lead on this, because they already have that massive install base with the 40 million PlayStation 4 users. And
that's going to be a very big, advantage.
Huge. It's huge.
That, like, all you got to do is literally plug and play into your PlayStation 4 and you're ready to go.
And that's really why people get consoles, right? Because they don't want to, like, I don't want to fiddle with settings and graphics cards. And the most I've ever done is replaced a hard drive.
Except for those that are infatuated with the Master Race PC.
Master Race, yeah.
Yeah, hey, then they are out there.
It is a large portion of the gaming community. But my whole thing is, like, even to get the Oculus Rift to run, you have to upgrade your rig. Which requires buying the components. These components are like a couple hundred dollars. Then you have to install them manually, like actually like do the nuts and bolts type stuff. You know, update all the software on all the drivers just to use the Oculus Rift. Who wants to do that?
Yeah.
You know, well, there's some people that do, but I don't. I just want to plug it in and go.
For the 40 million PlayStation 4 users, this is an easy way to circumvent that.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of consoles. Just plug and play. And so everybody that's interested, you can plug and play in October of this year. So it is the last one to market. The other ones are already coming out. So PlayStation is launching a little late, but I don't see that as being a hindrance to them because they're launching right before the holiday season. They're launching with a demo disc and a game with the headset. It's going to support all the games you already own. You can play it in that cinematic mode. You know, a month before Black Friday, which would give them room to lower the price because they're selling it at a profit, so they could lower it a little bit. I don't see any reason why this isn't like a top seller for the holiday season.
No, there's no huge disadvantage to being late on this.
No,
as long as it's a fine product and the PlayStation user base really loves it and enjoys it. It'll be a great success for Sony. It should be.
I think so. Now, what do you think this spells for VR in general? You know, not just for Sony, but for the future of gaming.
It's logically the next step. I mean, yeah. How else can you be more immersive into the video game world? I mean, you're talking about, we have customization options. We have features where you can put your face into the game.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, what's the next step? Let's actually put your your eyeballs into the world.
Yeah.
Let's have you actually be in the world.
Yeah, I know first-person shooters, it's like, let's take that next step. And let's actually put you in there.
Yeah.
I would love that. I think that this would definitely be something I'm interested in. The only thing that I give pause about is, you know, the glasses thing. But also I hear, this isn't a problem for me, but I know other people it might be a problem for, is that people tend to get motion sickness when they're playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's still a stumbling block for VR. I don't know how they can combat that, you know, if there's going to be a segment of the population that always gets sick when they use it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, like, you're moving, but your body isn't, you know, and it's like disconnect makes them sick. And I think that's just going to be a problem with VR, unfortunately. I don't think there's a way to combat that.
Yeah, I mean, unless you invent, like, some sort of device where you can run in place.
Have you ever seen those? They do actually have those.
They do have them, like, for NASA and stuff like that. But
yeah, but
I don't see that coming to home.
Buying a PlayStation 6 and you're like, and here's your free jogging circle.
Jogging apparatus or something.
You know, you like have to have a separate room where it's like all the equipment laid out.
You'll have a room. You actually have to have like a dedicated room or something.
Yeah. You know, now that you bring that up, there's actually, this is odd. I saw this on Reddit. There's actually a company that does, it's like laser tag, but to the extreme, where you put on a VR helmet and it's like in an old empty warehouse, like a big warehouse that's empty. You put on this VR helmet and it makes like the game environment, and you can actually freely walk through it. But it's designed in such a way that it always turns you away from the edges of the warehouse, so it feels like you're like constantly like moving. You know, you're not just like walking around in circles. And they have this vest, and when you get shot, it vibrates. Yeah. And I'm thinking that would be really cool, but also really terrifying. Because it's like a zombie survival game, and I'm like, I don't know if my heart could take that.
Yeah, I don't actually want to.
Like walking around and have something jump out at you, you know, in virtual reality, but you're like, I don't know. It's very strange to me. I kind of want to try it, though.
Yeah, I would try it.
It's not around here, but
I would try it.
But is that might be the next evolution, is like full body VR. That would be something.
Yeah.
But for the time being, we're going to have to just live with regular virtual reality. It is here, folks. The future is here. You are gazing upon it with the announcement from PlayStation, with the latest news with their virtual reality headset. I'm excited. You guys should be excited. Pre-orders are open right now, so go check it out.
There you go. An interesting way to look into the future of video gaming with VR. It's definitely an exciting way to view the future, right? I mean,
it is.
It's the next step, I think. It definitely is.
I'm really excited to see how these units sell.
Yeah. But there you go. Baby steps to launch virtual reality in the video game world. And that'll conclude the entertainment entree. But we still have one more portion of the show left to go. The non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got some interesting odd news stories to share with you. So don't go anywhere. The Crispy Noodle Podcast returns when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
A scuba diver in Florida is suing a utility company after he was sucked into a quarter-mile-long pipe that took him inside a nuclear power plant.
No, you don't get to sue the utility company for that. You're just stupid.
Christopher Leakin said he was scuba diving off the coast of Hutchinson Island when he went down to investigate three large shadows underneath a yellow buoy.
Yellow, isn't it like a warning color?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
There are radioactive symbols everywhere.
I thought it meant go closer.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what radioactivity means.
This must be like the place are they taking the water to put in the cooling towers?
Probably.
He could have been like the Hulk.
Swimming Hulk.
Do you think Hulk is afraid of water? He's all muscle. I don't think he could swim.
Yeah, I don't know. Has the Hulk ever swam?
Avengers 3. Hulk takes swimming lessons. Black Widow's like, come on, you can do it, Hulk. Hulk, swim!
Hulk, drown!
Hulk, drown!
Hulk, drown!
He uses his last breath! Oh my god. Hulk, drown!
Hulk, drown! Maybe he gets sucked back into the nuclear power plant.
Double Hulk?
Double Hulk, yeah.
Hulkception?
Hulk, no understand plot of movie.
Hulk have existential crisis about concept of reality. And then Hulk drown. Best line of dialogue Hulk has ever had.
Hulk not know sound effect.
Hulk want to know if top fall over. Exception.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. We've got... We had some random Orson Welles talk, and in that previous segment, but now it is time for one of the craziest portions of the show. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's time for one of my favorite segments: the always fun, wacky, and wild non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds!
Holy shnikes!
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great!
Mandada Basata, I don't make this stuff up!
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo, yeah, time for some odd news.
All right. For those of you that might not know about the non-fortune cookie odd news, let me tell you, here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps the stories hidden away from me, so my reactions are my gut reactions to my first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I am ready for this shiznit.
Okay.
Let's
all
do
right.
it.
Let's launch into the odd news here. Let's do this story right off the bat. New Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah, let's see what's happening in New Jersey.
Jersey. All right. What are they doing over there?
Well,
crazy old Jersey.
Local story, New Jersey. And you know what? This weekend is Easter. We mentioned that in the beginning of the show.
Of course. Of course.
An Easter bunny at a New Jersey mall was filmed brawling with a customer whose daughter fell out of the photo op chair after having her photo taken.
I'ma f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Say, who was the bunny fighting with? The mother of...
Jersey City spokeswoman Jennifer Morrell confirmed to police that there was a report of a fight Sunday afternoon. A pair of videos posted to Twitter shows the Easter Bunny and an adult male in a brown shirt repeatedly attacking one another and being pulled apart by other customers and mall security officers.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
So, okay, so it was the father.
The father and an actual person dressed up as an Easter Bunny are fighting in the middle of a mall.
And what prompted this fight? What started this all?
Morrill said that the 22-year-old man in the Easter Bunny suit told police that the other man involved in the fight was the father of a one-year-old girl who had, quote, fallen out of the chair after taking a photo with the holiday character. Okay. The actor said that the father verbally and physically attacked him after the young girl fell. Morrill said
Did he think that, like, the bunny pushed her or something, maybe?
Possibly. Morrill said that both participants in the mall brawl were taken to Jersey City Medical Center to be treated for minor injuries. The investigation is continuing, and no charges have been filed yet.
I just love the image of just this bunny going to town.
An actual Easter bunny, a man in an Easter bunny costume is fighting with a man that's the father of a one-year-old girl.
He's got like a pink bow tie. He's like, yo, I'm going to mess you up.
Don't mess with the bunny.
Don't mess with the bunny. Oh my God, that's great.
You know how much I pay for this suit?
You know, the suit probably offers a little bit of protection. Like those heads. Is it like one of those big, like, giant, like, mascot heads?
It's an Easter bunny suit.
Okay.
So take that as you will.
I don't know what type, because I'm thinking, like, if it has, like, the big, like...
Well, yeah, don't punch him in the head. He's not going to feel it. You got to punch him.
Yeah, you got to go for the body shots.
Yeah.
You know? You could use that head as a weapon, too. You could, like, headbutt the guy. Just knock him out, you know?
I also love that the mall security was really the ones that had to break this up, you know? That's probably the most action these mall security guards have ever seen.
It's the most exciting day ever
in this New Jersey mall.
They, like, call up their buddy who wasn't working that day. You'll never believe what happened.
Of course when I'm not there.
That should have been the plot for Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Or this is going to be Paul Blart Mall Cop 3.
Easter Bunny Strikes Back.
The Easter Bunny Strikes Back. Dun, 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 dun.
So we're actually making this
if
now.
If you want to get the Easter eggs.
We're actually making this now like the Easter Bunny's Darth Vader in the Imperial March and all that jazz.
I think so. I guess so.
I will not tolerate any more insolence.
Sit on my lap.
Skywalker, give me your eggs.
Luke, I am your bunny.
No! No!
Oh my gosh.
Actually, I used the wrong line. It's no, I am your father, or I am your bunny. He doesn't say Luke. Did you know that?
No, he doesn't say Luke, yeah.
Yeah, everybody always misquotes that, including me. I apologize.
So,
but yeah, I think we have a really good plot here for an unnecessary sequel.
Darth Bunny.
Darth Bunny, yeah. The bunny's just like a normal bunny, but it's just all black. You know, and he's like, instead of like a bow tie, he's got like a cape. I think that would be amazing.
Sir, the charge to see the bunny is now $50. What? You told me it was $25. I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
That's such a great build up for that one. I knew you were angling towards the line. I just didn't know which one. Very nice. Very nice. Does the bunny have stormtroopers?
Yeah, I guess
like peep stormtroopers?
Peeps. Yeah, there you go. Little peeps.
This would work much better with Santa, though, I think, because you would have the elves, you know?
Aren't you a little short for an elf?
Quiet, you. Don't you think it's weird, though, that people take their kids to get a picture with the Easter Bunny?
Well, there are some Easter Bunny costumes that are really scary.
They're terrifying. Have you ever been to, like, R Creepy on Reddit?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They always have pictures of Easter Bunnies. It's like, what were these people thinking in the 1920s? They're like, I know. Let's make the Easter Bunnies have really long, slender, pointy ears. And their faces will be really narrow and sharp. And their mouths will be very tiny. It looks like some type of weird demon thing.
Demon bunny.
And that's not what a rabbit looks like. Have they ever seen a rabbit? Did they ever like look at a rabbit and be like, oh, it looks cuddly. Let's make a demonic figure that will scar children for life.
There you go.
You know? But just,
That would be the next incarnation of the bunny for Darth Bunny.
Yeah, yeah. This is like, sure. Yeah. I'm trying to like equate it to like Star Wars. Like I guess Anakin started out as Anakin, then he got like mutilated and he became Darth Bunny. You know what I mean? Like the Easter Bunny is Anakin, right? And then he gets cut up in the fight and he falls into lava and then he becomes Darth Bunny, and that's when he becomes like the grotesque, like hideous Easter Bunny. I'm just rambling now.
He got melted in the microwave.
He got melted.
He was a peep that got melted in the microwave.
Oh, that's awful. That is how it would happen, though, in this weird, twisted universe. Is this Paul Blart 3 or is this Star Wars 8?
Paul Blart 3
Star Wars 8.
Invades the mall or something. I don't know.
What a crossover.
Yeah.
Paul Blart 3, The Return of Darth Bunny.
That would kill the Star Wars franchise. Disney, don't do that.
Disney's like, crap, we have to scrap our 2019 plans. Oh, good stuff.
All right. Well, I have another New Jersey story.
All right. Yeah. Jersey making a push here in the odd news.
Yep.
I like it.
Though this one is just interesting to imagine. An armored truck spilled a bag of cash on a busy New Jersey highway on Thursday morning.
And everybody came screeching to a halt and
yeah.
jumped out of their cars.
It stopped traffic. People actually stopped their cars and tried to collect the money.
Did they really jump out and try to collect the money?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, how do you track it down?
You
can't. If they get their hands on the money and then they just drive away, that's it. It's over.
A Garda truck was traveling on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, when a bag of cash tumbled out onto the roadway.
How? Doesn't it have doors?
Yeah, I guess they didn't lock this completely. A car hit the bag as it hit the ground, and money flew out all over the roadway.
That's amazing. Could you imagine if you like hit a pothole and it just explodes into money? I wouldn't mind. I would aim for the potholes. I'd be like, come on, let's do this, car.
A photo captured from a nearby car dealership showed the truck's driver trying to pick up loose dollar bills with the help of a motorist. Police said that employees at the car dealership also helped pick up the loose cash.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was very eager to help. Let me help you. Let me help you. What do you mean you're $1,000 short? No, I think it's all there.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You did spill it over a busy highway. You're going to lose some.
Exactly, you know.
Maybe $1,000.
Maybe $1,000, maybe $2,000, maybe $10,000. Who's to say? Who's to say how much you lost?
Well, now, here's the interesting situation. Did you know that we had a story like this before?
We did, yeah.
If you actually take the cash and you run away with it, and the police can somehow prove that you were linked to that location,
right?
That's actually a crime. You've committed theft.
Yeah, but they can't catch you. How are they going to catch you? I guess they have the security footage, but unless they get like the right angle to get your license plate number and then track you down, like I don't think they'd be willing to go through all that trouble. Do you? Also, if it's
depends on how much money is gone.
But here's the thing: if it's on a highway, right, you're not going to like the next town over. You're probably like driving some distance.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you probably live like quite a ways away from where this happened.
But
you might be in a different like county or something.
But here's the problem: everyone stopped their car.
That's the first mistake. You gotta pull over, grab as much money as you can, and then get back on the road.
So when police responded to the call, a long line of traffic had already been formed on the roadway. Because of this, all the money was actually collected.
No.
Yep.
Jersey people are too nice. They gotta be jerks like us here in Philadelphia, you know? We're not jerks. We're lovable a-holes.
According to authorities, all the money was picked up by 9 a.m. So,
wow.
Either view this as those New Jersey motorists were being really polite or really dumb that they decided to just stop. I don't know. It's however you view it.
I mean, Jersey drivers are always a little weird, aren't they? So there you go. Another point of evidence against Jersey drivers.
You know what? I think you're morons. Take the money and run.
Take the money and run.
Like, come on.
Nobody's going to catch you. Nobody. There's nothing they can do. Because odds are, you're on a highway. They don't know where you're from. They don't know where you're going, right?
Yeah.
So just keep driving. Just take the long way home.
Unless there's an actual camera on, like, the side of the armored truck that happens, that's also clear enough to pick up a moving driver's license plate on your car. But even then, that still seems very iffy.
Yeah, but like, how do they prove if you took the money? Like, how much did you take? You know, are they going to hunt you down for $20? You know, how far do they have to hunt you down at?
See, that's what they all should have. Everybody in this highway should have agreed, all right, we're going to take like a $20 bill and go.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody grab your 20 and leave. It's like a reverse toll booth. Here's your 20. There you go. Here's your 20. Carry along.
But these motorists stopped.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid Jersey drivers.
Come on, guys.
They're maniacs on the road. You know, except when you need to be a maniac, then they're like the nicest, most orderly people in the world. You're like driving along, they're like, beep, 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 boom, I gotta, you know. But then money, and you're like, oh my God, we gotta get the money. And they just stop. Nice and politely, they're like British. They line up, you know, nobody cuts in line, everybody waits patiently. It's like Bizarro World, all reverse and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Stupid Jersey drivers. The story's making me angrier by the second.
Right? I mean, I'm kind of...
It's gotten disappointed in our brothers to the east. You're no longer my brother, Jersey.
You guys could have done better here.
Really?
The
disappointed.
The cops could have actually given you money here, and...
So disappointing.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on.
I'm not mad, Jersey. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. Let's move on here to this story. A Goodwill store in Wisconsin had to be evacuated on Saturday afternoon after employees were going through a donated box where they found 3 grenades. I love this story. I'm cleaning out the garage. Oh, look, here's 3 grenades. I'm sure Goodwill will appreciate these items.
I heard that there was a shortage of grenades. There are good people that could use some grenades. The School of Mines donated them.
Yeah. They,
that's what it is.
You know, they could have used them.
Were they active grenades, or did they have, like, the firing stuff removed? Is there a way to tell?
Local police had to keep the store cleared until the Milwaukee Police Department's Hazardous Devices Unit. Okay, I'm glad that they have one of those.
Why? I guess every police force needs one. Yeah, there's a lot of hazardous devices.
The Hazardous Devices Unit arrived on the scene and were able to determine that the grenades were inert. So because the grenades were inoperable, police did not believe the scare was intentional, and the Goodwill store was able to reopen on time. So nothing bad happened, but at the same time, though, randomly getting 3 grenades.
Not intentional. Does that mean that somebody just had 3 grenades lying around and forgot they had them when they donated a box of clothes?
Possibly. Oh, whoops, I forgot my grenades.
How do you forget you have 3 grenades?
Whoops.
Why do you have 3 grenades? They're not even operational. What do you, like, I don't know. I don't know how that happens by accident. Did you just keep them in the bottom of your sock drawer? Just
in case.
Like, this is the thing I don't understand.
These guys are Brick Tamlin from Anchorman. Where'd you get a hand grenade? I don't know. Where'd you get 3 of them? I don't know.
I don't know. They've just always been there. But this is the thing. You have a deactivated grenade, right? You put it out to, like, display. Like, oh, cool, it's a grenade. Right? I mean, that's what you assume. You either have an active grenade that you're going to use or a deactivated grenade that you put on display. Why do you have a deactivated grenade that you hide in your sock drawer? What purpose does it serve?
It was left over in the garage or something. I don't know.
Left over in the garage?
Yeah. He came in a 5-pack. He already used 2 of them.
A 5-pack? Wait, are they like tennis balls? You buy them in those tubes?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right?
A tube of grenades.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 5 for $1. That's, you can't beat that deal.
Got a tube over here.
Why the accent?
Got a tube over here.
I got a tube.
Hey,
I got a tube of grenades over here.
I got a tube of grenades here.
What is it like?
I'm
like,
from Mulberry Street.
I'm going to blow you up.
I'll blow half of Mulberry Street up for you, all right, Donnie? I don't know why I was thinking of Donnie Brasco,
all right. Oh, grenades. You know, I wanted a grenade when I was a kid.
What?
I'm serious. I wanted a grenade.
Wait, was this like on your wish list, like for Santa?
My friend in grade school had a fake grenade, and I said, that is so cool. I was really into, like, World War II stuff.
And dear so I, Santa.
Dear Santa, please send me 1 grenade. I've been really good. I promise I won't use it on anyone. Love, 10-year-old Michael.
Aww, oh, isn't that so
heartwarming?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Did you get a grenade for Christmas?
I didn't ask for it for Christmas. And no, I didn't get the grenade. But I went so far as to go to the Army-Navy store. It's an Army-Navy store in Montgomeryville.
You are determined.
I don't know if it's still there, but it used to be there.
Did you buy a grenade?
And, no, I went to look, and you could buy one. They were like, I think like $30 or $40. And being like a 10-year-old kid, I'm like, man, I could buy a Charizard card for $40. Why would I want to spend it on a grenade? Didn't buy the Charizard card either. I didn't get a grenade or a Charizard card. I don't know what I did with the $40. I probably spent it on candy or something stupid, you know? So there you go. Life lessons. Either buy the Charizard card or the grenade. Make a decision. And stick with it.
So why don't you get a grenade now?
Because I – that's a good question. I think I'm going to buy a grenade.
Follow your dreams, Mike.
I need to follow my dreams and buy a grenade. Never give up on your dreams. Never give up on your dreams. If you want a grenade, you buy a grenade. That's really the only dream you can have is buying a grenade.
Yes.
What is happening right now?
Mike, you've always wanted this ever since you were a child.
I can do it.
You can do this now.
I can
you
do it.
You have money.
I have the money, Rich. I can buy my grenade. I can follow my dreams since I was 10.
Yes.
Since I was 10. Just a wee lad. I've always wanted a handheld explosive device.
You wanted to be able to hold it.
I wanted to feel the power in the palm of my hand. The weighted metal. The hard edges. The thought that this could explode and tear my hand from my arm. I had never held power like that before, Rich.
And now you can.
I wanted it. I needed it. And now I can. I can realize my full potential. I can buy my hand grenade.
Mike, this needs to happen. You have to do this.
I'm going
to
do it. So this is the greatest comeback story of all time, Rich.
Yeah, screw Northern Iowa.
Screw Northern Iowa.
Screw Northern Iowa and all that jazz. This is it. Mike Costanzo.
I'm going to do it.
Finally going to get a grenade.
I'm going to buy a grenade. This is the most overly dramatic thing we've ever done. I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy a grenade.
Yes.
I'm like really pumped right now.
I know. I want you to do it.
I'm going
to
do it.
I'm not joking.
I'm going to look it up on Amazon right now. Right now.
Can you buy a grenade from Amazon?
Grenade. Yeah. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see. Amazon grenade. Oh my God. You can buy grenades. They're only $12. This one only costs $3.87. That I do not trust that grenade.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Also, the NSA is going to be monitoring you from here on out.
I'm on so many lists right now. I literally just Googled Amazon grenade.
But it can happen.
But it's in pursuit of a dream. This is the most epic music I've ever heard. What is this?
It's just epic music.
Were you just like epic music?
Yeah.
Just searched it. Nice. Oh, wow.
So there you
go.
That
really, that brought a tear to my eye.
Mike, you have to do this now.
Follow your dreams. Buy a
grenade. That needs to be on a poster. Follow your dreams. Buy a grenade. Michael Costanzo, 2016.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get bumper stickers made.
Yes.
That way people won't tailgate you. They're like, whoa. That guy's got grenades.
Follow your dreams. Buy a grenade. Michael Costanzo, 2016.
I think that's a political slogan people could get behind.
Yes, I'd vote for you.
You know, Obama had hope and change. I got grenades. So you know,
you need to get one of those pictures, the red and the blue.
Yeah,
grenades. Yes.
Oh my God.
Just like that, grenades.
Grenades. Just one word. I got one word, everyone. Grenades.
Yay!
And with an unprecedented third-party candidate, Michael Costanzo wins the general election.
He's part of the grenade party.
I just get up there and I just go, oh, crap. What did you guys do? You're so stupid.
I have to donate half of them to Goodwill.
Oh, man.
So there you go.
Yeah, that happened. You never wanted a grenade as a kid?
I never had like a childhood ambition to get one. You made it sound like it was like your dream.
I went to an Army Navy store. I really wanted a grenade.
There you go.
I remember bugging my father.
You need to fulfill this.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy a grenade.
Perfect.
And hopefully I'll have it for next week.
Perfect. We need it.
I'm gonna do it. You think I'm joking? I'm gonna buy a grenade.
You better. No, you better. You're gonna let everybody down.
I'm gonna do it. I have to research good grenades to buy.
All right, well, there you go.
Could you imagine the Google searches? What is the best grenade to buy? The NSA is like, all right, that's another strike.
Yep, Michael Costanzo, second strike. Him and his goats, I don't know what the hell that's all about.
I love this goat right now. They're like, I don't trust this guy. Goats and grenades, something about crispy noodles, something doesn't sit right with this guy. I love this goat right now. Oh, boy.
All right.
How are you going to top grenades?
I don't know. I probably won't be able to, but
you're like, whatever.
What's your life? It's your childhood ambition. I can match that. But speaking of voting and everything like that, I do have a story.
What a transition.
I do have a story about voting.
Okay.
In our next story.
All right. What do you got?
A new 200 million pound, well, British pound, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Actual weight.
Right.
200 million British pound ship could be named Bodie McBoatface after an online poll was run to find a name for the new vessel.
Please tell me that they're naming it Bodie McBoatface.
The natural.
This is the HMS Bodie McBoatface calling into port.
The Natural Environment Research Council decided to launch a campaign to let the public decide what its latest polar research ship should be called.
Never trust the public.
Why would you trust
the public? We're about to put Donald Trump is about to get the nomination, right? And you're like, you know what? Well, this is in a different country. But just goes to show you the public, they can't be trusted for anything, Rich.
Yep. The Name Our Ship campaign was launched last week, and thousands of people have offered their suggestions. But right now, the name that is in the lead is RRS Bodie McBoatface.
You know what? If I were a researcher, I'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. It's well ahead of the other contenders
They're probably stupid names, aren't they? Like The Voyage or the Discovery.
Here's a couple of the other suggestions. RRS Captain Haddock, which is named after...
Boring.
Nobody cares.
Captain Haddock.
The next one, RRS Don't Panic and Stay Cool. Okay.
Okay. Isn't it Keep Cool? What is the saying?
Keep calm,
something like that.
Well, this is Don't Panic and Stay Cool.
Okay.
And in fourth place is RRS The Ice Queen, which I don't know what the hell that is, but okay.
I don't know. Are they researching like in the Arctic maybe? Ice Queen?
Yeah, well, yes, it is a polar research ship, but I don't know why a queen.
Well, aren't vehicles
are boats
yeah,
female?
Well, all vehicles I think are female.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
How does that work out?
Are there any vehicles that are male? What appliances and or vehicles and or contraptions
always get
male?
A male name? I don't know.
That's a airplane? Good question. Airplane?
I don't know.
Do they name airplanes?
Air Force One? That sounds masculine.
That sounds masculine? Okay.
That doesn't sound female. I wouldn't name my daughter Air Force One.
Why would you name your son Air Force One? Come here, Air Force. Dad, I told you. I just want to be called Force.
That would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't. No,
you are my son. May the force be with you.
You are a force to be reckoned with. Stop it with the puns, Dad. Go play basketball and get some air. Stop it, Dad. You're embarrassing me. You are the one. No.
I'm the worst parent ever. I should not ever have children.
Oh, just earlier tonight you were talking about teaching kids gambling. Behind this, so imagine Rich with his little son Air Force One,
and I'm teaching him gambling.
It's
math.
It is math. To be fair,
it is math. You have to know math to understand gambling.
I don't understand the logic behind Air Force One. I understand the gambling portion, but not Air Force One. What's your daughter's name, though?
Bodie McBoatface.
She's like, you are a jerk, Dad.
Well, I let
at least
the public
he's
vote.
Named, at least you let the public choose the kid's name.
Yep. I should have never let the internet vote it for my daughter's name.
Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoatface.
I really want the boat to be named that. How is it, like, really far ahead in the voting?
Right now it is.
Do you think they'll stick with it?
I hope they do. They should.
They should.
It's the such a good name. The rules said that whatever name got the most votes, it would be named after.
Bodie McBoatface.
So Bodie McBoatface.
I can't stop laughing at it. Oh, man.
The Natural Environment Research Council said that the ship is right now being nicknamed NPRV.
What?
Yeah.
Until they come up with a better name than Bodie McBoatface.
Which they admit isn't very catchy, so that's why they wanted to launch this campaign to find a new name. People still can put forward new suggestions and give as many names as they wish on their website with a short explanation about why they think their name should be suitable. So if you want to submit a new name, you can on the Natural Environment Research Council's website.
No. Everyone just keeps suggesting the name.
Or in the meantime, go for Bodie McBoatface.
Can we vote?
There's also a Twitter handle.
Really?
Yes. Bodie McBoatface has its own Twitter.
What do I have to do to be able to vote for Bodie McBoatface?
Go to the Natural Environment Research Council's website.
I really hope that's the name.
Yeah, they got to stick with it.
They do. It's so perfect.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? You would get such great publicity. And this is a group that probably doesn't get any publicity. The Natural Environment, what is it? The Natural Environment Research Council?
Yeah.
They get no publicity. This right here.
Would do it.
This makes natural research cool again.
Yes.
Or cool for the first time. Whichever is more accurate. Oh, Bodie McBoatface. Okay. Well, we can't spend all our time talking about hand grenades and boats.
No.
So what else do we got in the odd news?
Let's get to a more traditional. No,
always,
it's not. This is
always,
not a traditional.
I always love story. When you say that, more traditional. So you mean somebody's sticking something up their butt then?
No, but.
They're naked at least.
Yes, they are naked.
Probably inebriated. Ta-da! Ta-da, I did it. Like, it's only like one of four different things. It's either they got something in their butt, they're naked and drunk, they're breaking into somebody's home, or there's some type of animal involved, usually bees or like a moose or something. That's like 60% of the odd news, Rich.
Well, the guy in this story is naked. Grove Park residents have been urged to be, quote, extra vigilant after a naked man has been repeatedly seen, quote, aggressively masturbating at a bus stop.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Aggressively.
When you say, like...
Oh, boy, man, he's on a mission.
Define aggressively. Like, is he jerking it so hard that he's like... Like, I don't know. It just seems really weird. I don't want to say what I was going to say because it was going to be really gross.
A woman was walking past the bus stop on Heather Road on last week when she noticed the man who she described as being a white male in his late 50s balding with light gray hair on the sides.
She really got a good look at him.
Well, this guy was aggressively doing his thing. Yeah. The woman, who was not named in the police report, said that, quote, when he saw me and I saw him, I started running and he started making the most awful grunting noise ever.
That's amazing.
And he became, quote, aggressive with his willy.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's graphic.
Yeah. Aggressive.
I like the part where she's like, I just started running.
Yeah, get out of there.
She's never seen a penis before. She's like, oh my God. It's just like takes off sprinting in the other direction.
Well, you don't want to mess with a guy.
No, that's
yeah,
true.
Late 50s.
That's true. If you're walking up to a bus stop.
Aggressively touching himself. I want to know what makes it aggressively. Like, oh, God!
Is he like veins are bulging as far as he's like, just like furiously, like.
Yeah, like veins are about to pop open or something, you know?
His face is like beet red. His teeth are clenched.
Oh, God!
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Oh, boy. Why a bus stop, of all places? There's nicer places to do that. Just ignore that one. I mean, if you really must, why a bus stop? They're gross.
I guess he really doesn't think that's a factor.
I guess he doesn't care if it's gross or not.
A Metro police spokesman said that they also had a repeated call about this naked man outside Grove Park Station playing with himself. So the police force have asked everyone to be extra vigilant for a naked man who touches himself at that bus stop. Anyone with information should please call the police on this case, because they have no leads on this. So help them out.
Just wait by the bus stop for a guy to start jacking off.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to say that, am I?
You're fine.
Okay.
You're in that gray area, but I think you're fine.
Is it really that hard to catch him? Just like wait out there and like some guy like whips out. You're like, all right.
Maybe it's more of the police don't actually want to touch him, you know, like, okay. No, I'm not chasing after him.
He's way too aggressive.
Yeah.
Let's wait until after he finishes and he gets all tuckered out.
And he falls asleep.
He just falls asleep, just collapses in his own puddle.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Sure.
Thud. He just finishes with his grunting and his aggressive masturbating and just collapses. Oh, man. Well, you'd be much easier to approach. You wouldn't have to worry about projectiles. You liked that one, didn't you?
Ooh, all right.
You have to think that that is a worry for cops. It's a legitimate worry, too, because what happens if they have some STD or something, you know?
Well,
that's something they have to think of. How do you approach a naked guy that's furiously, aggressively masturbating? Do cops, is that in the training protocol? All right, officers, this is day 19 of training. If you're approaching a man masturbating, do not approach from the front.
Get the riot gear.
Get the riot shields. Approach from the side and wait until he's finished. They have to, like, charge the dummies. You know how they, like, used to charge the dummies with the bayonets? Except this time the dummy has the bayonet. Do you think they cover this stuff in police training?
Probably not. I'm going to go with a no.
It happens so often. This happens more than shootouts, Rich. Like, every week this happens. Every single week. They should include this in the training. Nobody will want to be a cop.
Yeah, there you go. Nobody's going to want to be a cop.
They look at the syllabus or whatever they give cops, and it's like, day 10.
You may have to deal with a naked man with an erection. No. That's it. People would walk out.
Nobody would be a cop. Oh, man.
All right, let's get to our traditional Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And this also involves a different kind of bodily function here.
Poop.
In Lake County, Florida, a DUI suspect pooped and peed in a patrol car early Thursday morning.
I just took a while. I was like, poop. And you're like, yep, he pooped.
Oh, yeah.
He pooped in a what? In the police car?
In a police car, yep.
Here's the story.
Here's the story behind this one. When Carlos Adonis Ramos Arezzo was pulled over for driving 75 in a 55-mile-per-hour zone, the 24-year-old said that he was rushing home because he, quote, had to go number two. The officer apparently thought the excuse was crappy because he smelled pot in the vehicle.
Thought the excuse was crappy.
Yep. Ramos Arezzo was asked to step out of the car, but he allegedly refused numerous times. Police said that Ramos Arezzo managed to lock the car door and drive away from the scene. The officer followed in hot pursuit. When the man got home, he attempted to get inside, but an officer fired a taser at him.
Oh, no. And that's when he crapped himself.
No, not yet.
Really? He was able to hold it in despite being tased?
Yeah.
Doesn't it make your whole body, like, tense up, though?
I guess that helps with holding...
I guess it clamps shut.
Yeah, I guess. Despite being struck in the back with prongs, Ramos Arezzo still continued to refuse police commands before he was eventually subdued. Officers found pot in the suspect's car. While he was en route to Lake County Jail, that's when Ramos Arezzo said he couldn't control himself, and he pooped and urinated right in the back of the car.
He's like, take this, coppers.
I wasn't lying.
That's the best way to prove your story.
The damage was mostly in man hours dedicated to cleaning the car afterwards, according to a spokesman from the Lake County Sheriff's Department.
That's an awful job. That probably happens all the time,
and
too.
It probably went to the rookie or something, you know?
Yeah. right after his his training to tackle people that have been masturbating. He's like, all right, listen up here, Officer Bob. I know you just finished that training, but now you got to clean up some poop in the back of a cop car.
Yep, good
this
luck.
This is training lesson number 20. This is the two worst days as a cop.
Yeah, training lesson 19, naked man with an erection. Training number 20,
cleaning up poop. I really want to know what training lesson number 21 is.
Ramos Arezzo's was charged with fleeing, battery on a law enforcement officer, aggravated assault, and other charges. He had to post an $18,000 bail. Woo! Yeah. All right.
Why couldn't he be like, you can arrest me, but can I please poop first? Like, why didn't he try to, like, bargain with them? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, I feel bad for the guy because he pooped himself. But... you know what? You got to go. You got to go.
Yep. All right. Let's get to another Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Let's do this one here. A South Florida teacher has been fired after she showed up for work drunk.
Classic. We've had stories like this before, haven't we?
Yep. But this teacher, man,
how
why
drunk?
Not?
Very drunk.
Lynn Singleton was fired by the Broward County School Board after a recommendation for termination by the superintendent, Robert Runcie. According to Runcie's documents, Singleton was seen by another teacher, quote, stumbling as she was escorting her first grade students to class.
No. Not the first graders.
Yeah. Come on, man. It's a little bit embarrassing when the first graders are walking better than you are.
You don't have a high opinion of first graders, do you?
Have you ever seen first graders? They're so uncoordinated.
It's true. Kids are uncoordinated.
Get it together.
Get it together.
Come on, first graders.
Yeah. I love how she's the one that showed up to school drunk, and you're taking on the first graders. Oh, that's bad, though. That's bad.
Yeah. The teacher notified the school's principal, who noticed, quote, an odor of alcohol while he was speaking with Singleton, and noticed that Singleton was, quote, irritable and unable to respond to questions.
That's bad. When you can't walk straight and you can't even respond to questions. Was this like first thing in the morning, too? Like,
yeah.
8 o'clock, kids come in and you're like stumbling over drunk, you know?
Miss Singleton, what's 4 plus 4?
Be quiet, Billy!
Shut up! Shut up, Billy!
Miss Singleton's got a raging hangover.
No, she's not even in hangover.
Oh, no,
she's drunk.
She's drunk, yeah.
Yeah, she's not even in hangover mode yet. She's drunk.
She's still drinking. She's taking sips out of a flask while they're doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, Billy, Miss Singleton had 4 shots of vodka last night, and she's now having 4 shots this morning. What do you think, Billy?
You had 8 shots? Correct! And 1 more makes 9.
Well, why did you ask me that question, Billy? Go back to your desk!
She's really angry drunk.
She said irritable,
irritable
in the police report.
That's true.
Then afterwards, Singleton let her entire first grade class go to the restroom unsupervised and on hall break.
The entire class?
Yeah. So
everybody just, go together?
So she's just like college style, just like let them like, yep, class dismissed, go
class
ahead.
Class dismissed.
Go do your own thing.
My God, they're first graders. What does she think, like safety in numbers? If you go to the bathroom in a pack, you'll be fine?
Yeah, go, you know, survive the world, you can do it.
Survive the world.
You guys are fine.
I'm going to start dismissing my classes like that. Survive the world, you guys, go students. They would just look at me and be like, are we allowed to leave?
Get out there.
Get out there. Survive the world. That's such a great saying. Survive the world. like the world is like an obstacle, like a physical obstacle course they have to navigate.
You guys can do it. Survive the world. Come on.
You can do it. You're old enough. What are you, six now? Come on, Billy. Pain in the ass.
Get Billy, God damn it.
Can't even add. Spell cat with a K. Your A is backwards. Stupid Billy. I don't know why we're so abusive to poor Billy.
You're a loser, Billy. Get out there.
Miss Singleton, why? Because I'm drunk. So she was fired.
Runcie, the superintendent, said that Singleton was tested for alcohol and drugs as part of the school district's drug-free workplace policy.
Check and check.
A breathalyzer test showed that she had an initial reading of 0.235, which is more than double the state legal limit of 0.08.
Yikes.
As a result, Runcie decided to fire her because of cases of, quote, office misconduct, immorality, incompetency, and willful neglect of duty. So,
immorality? Yeah. Did you say? Wow.
Well, this is what the superintendent is listing to fire her.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
you can't go to school drunk. Come on. I know you hate those little rat bastards. Those little, what are first graders, like 6 years old, six, seven, something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, I know they can be tough, but don't go to school drunk. Drink after school.
Yeah, you drink after school.
Yeah, maybe sip.
Not before.
Maybe take a couple sips at lunch, but not enough to get you twice over the legal limit. Come on. That's just irresponsible.
Shut up, Billy.
Shut up, Billy.
You don't know anything about responsibility.
I'm not the drunk one, Miss Singleton. She just bitch slaps him.
Oh, aren't you the perfect child? Huh?
Get up on your soapbox, Billy. All high and mighty. I love this ongoing argument between Miss Singleton and Billy.
Yeah.
Like, Billy's like the noble student, the only one that's willing to stand up to the tyrant Miss Singleton. And Miss Singleton's just like had enough of him.
Yeah.
And it's like, screw you.
Stop being such an ass sniffer, Billy.
I don't want to sniff your ass.
All right, I got one more story for you, and it's another Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
One more Florida story to end this segment here.
Okay, what do you got?
A Florida man has been arrested after he stole a $60,000 BMW the night after a car dealership turned him down from buying it because the dealership claims he only had food stamps to buy the Beamer with.
What, you mean they don't take food stamps at car dealerships anymore?
No, I don't. That's not an acceptable form of payment.
Did he save up $60,000 worth of food stamps? Oh, wow. That's, wow. Why? Wow. Like, what's the logic? Like, well, it's good for food. Might as well be good for a car.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. It's a food stamp, not a car stamp.
Food.
The government isn't giving out car stamps yet. If they did, I wouldn't be driving a 2005 Nissan Maxima. I'd be driving a Tesla or something, you know?
Nicholas Jackson went to an auto dealership where managers declined his business when they claimed he tried to buy the BMW with a phony credit card and an electronic benefit transfer card, which is the food stamps.
Right.
Well, that's when he decided the night after to try and burglarize the dealership.
I mean, that's the next logical step.
Yep. The Pompano Beach dealership was then burglarized, and the BMW was missing along with keys belonging to 60 other cars.
Wow. So was he going to go back? Take more cars, maybe?
You know. 60-car test drive, you know?
Yeah. He wants to test all of them.
I want to get the right feel, you know?
Just to make sure, yeah.
Yeah. Authorities said that 36-year-old Jackson did not have money to fill the tank of the stolen BMW and ran out of gas at the intersection.
Wow.
Wow.
At the intersection?
Yeah.
How low did they keep the gas tanks on those cars? I guess to stop something like that from happening.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Is that protocol to keep the gas tanks that low?
Yeah, they only fill up a new car if somebody wants a test drive with it. Yeah. And even then, they don't fill it up. They fill it up like half a tank.
Yeah, not even that, because test drives aren't really that long.
Right.
You know?
So this guy just forgot about gas money. you know that's also kind of important if you're gonna buy a Beamer.
Yeah,
they're not
yeah.
too good on gas.
No, probably not. I want to know though. You're on food stamps, and you start with a $60,000.
Yeah,
like
you might want to shoot a little bit lower.
This story would have been a little more believable if he was like trying to buy a used car, you know, like $4,000 or $5,000. But he goes straight for the $60,000,
brand new BMW,
brand new. Yeah, he doesn't even try the cheap option. He's like, huh, I'm rolling in food stamps, baby. You know? I hit it big on the food stamps. $60,000 worth.
Yeah, when I go to the casino, they call me Stamps.
They call me Stampy. Hey, Stampy! Gonna put two stamps on red. All right. Stampy.
Good old Stampy.
Good old Stampy.
Good old Stampy. Well, when officers responded to a suspicious person's call on the following morning, they found Jackson, the BMW, and all 60 of the stolen keys. Investigators were able to trace the BMW and the keys back to the Pompano Beach dealership, and Jackson has now been charged with grand theft auto and is being held in jail on a $20,000 bond.
Well, I mean, he's got the food stamps for it.
Yeah, can he use the food stamps to get out of jail?
I want to know, like, what type of magical currency is this?
Yeah, I didn't know food stamps were this versatile.
Neither did I. It's amazing. Just utterly amazing. Food stamps. Good old Stampy. Yep. It's sad that good old Stampy had such a short story.
Yeah.
You know, it just ended too quickly, I think.
Well, there you go. That's how we're going to end the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News for this week. But before we officially wrap up the podcast, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
I learned about good old Stampy.
Yeah, Stampy.
He goes gambling and buys cars with food stamps.
Good old Stampy.
Good old Stampy. I also learned that food stamps were very versatile.
Yeah.
They could be used for anything.
Cars, bail money.
Yeah, just basically everything.
Sure, why not?
Except for food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Screw food.
Screw food, yeah. Can't buy fresh vegetables, but you can buy cars. Logic. Yeah.
Yes. Florida.
Florida, yeah. Makes you think. Speaking of logic, I like this one. Try this one out. Maybe don't drink at school,
yeah.
But after school.
After school's fine.
After school, you can drink all you want.
Not before school.
Not before school or during school. That's not good.
No good.
But speaking of drinking at school, I heard that Billy and Miss Singleton got into a really big argument about her drinking habit.
Wow.
Billy's just trying to look out for Miss Singleton. Miss Singleton, you know, is just getting really, really belligerent.
But she needs to let off some steam.
Yeah, on Billy.
Yeah.
Just bitch slapping him around the classroom.
At 8 o'clock in the morning.
8 o'clock in the... Yeah. While she's on her, like, seventh shot of whatever she's taking.
Yeah.
Good times. But speaking of Billy and Miss Singleton, I like her advice to everyone. Survive the world.
Survive the world.
Just go out there, survive the world. Good luck.
Good luck.
with your booze and your food stamps.
Yeah. Try that on, Billy.
Oh, but, you know, that's what they should say to cops, though, going through training, survive the world, because we learned that there are two training exercises cops do not like to participate in. That's training exercise number 19, specifically number 19, which is confronting naked man with an erection.
Yep. That's awkward.
That's a very tough one. But number 20 is just as tough. That's where you learn how to clean poop out of a police car.
Yep. Every rookie's got to do it.
It's two essential parts of being a cop. You got to be prepared for anything, you know?
Yep.
Oh, but that brings me to my next point. They really should include how to deal with masturbating people as a police officer. It happens like every week.
Yep.
At least once or...
We're proof here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Exactly, yeah. You can cite us as evidence. But I also learned, this is cool, that Rich, your son will be named Air Force One.
Yeah, sure. That'd be awesome.
And your daughter... Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. Good old Aaron Bodie.
Good old Aaron Bodie. Your kids, they just hate you and you're the names you came up with. They're like, damn it, Dad. Why'd you have to name me after a boat? But the most important thing that I learned, though, this is a really touching moment for me. Follow your dreams.
Yes.
Buy a grenade.
Yes.
It has to happen.
You have to buy a grenade by next week.
I'm going to buy a grenade.
You better.
I'm going to do it.
Buy that grenade.
I have to follow my dreams.
Boy, such inspirational words.
We always try to leave you guys with some inspirational thoughts.
I love it. Follow your dreams, buy a grenade. Yes. Michael Costanzo, 2016.
There you go.
And there you go. Yep, that's what we've learned on this episode of the Chris Mingle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
That was a good way to end the show.
That was a great odd news segment. I had some fun with
Mike,
Bodie McBoatface grenades.
I'm dead serious, Mike. You need to get the grenades.
I'm honestly going to try and get a grenade.
Yes, we need to have a follow up story next week. Did Mike get the grenades?
I can give a whole grenade review. I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
I looked it up on Amazon. I can get them for about $12. So I don't know how legit they are, but I'm gonna try and buy a grenade.
Is it Prime?
Actually, that's a good question. I don't even know if it's gonna get here in time.
Well, figure that out.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out the logistics.
Figure that out. But folks, this is the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Boy, man, things you didn't know before the show, right?
It really is a meal for your mind.
Yeah.
You know?
If you want more information on our crazy hijinks, that is, what we do here for the Crispy Noodle, check out the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure that you're liking us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and you're following us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. We have so much stuff up there, including our new video noodles.
Yeah.
Video noodles, right?
Yep, video noodles.
Video noodles. They're really good, really funny. A great way to see behind the scenes what's going on as we record the podcast. Get our actual reactions, you know, not just our voices, but our weird flamboyant gestures as I flail.
We're both Italian, so
we're both
yeah.
Italian, so arms are flying every which way, you know. It's a blast. So definitely subscribe to the channel on YouTube to get all that goodness. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
We also have a SoundCloud page where we have mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show, condensed to a 1 to 2 minute little clip that you can share with friends and family.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on Twitters and get into contact with us, especially if you know where Mike can get a grenade, all
yes,
right?
I need to know.
So, folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it for us. We will see you guys next week. Let's go, Villanova!
Yeah, Nova. See you guys.
See you guys later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.